This is a Triple J podcast.
Every billionaire is a douchebag.
Parliament is a sick place.
I thought, oh my God, I might be an alcoholic. Obviously, I'm an inadequate guest.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Who's the Prime Minister?
What do you think? Have you noticed more people around you smoking lately? Or is it the opposite? Not as many mates, family taking up ciggies or vapes. Because some new research indicates that smoking rates in Australia are still going down. Is that the full story, though? G'day, it's Dave Marchese with you for Hack. Coming up, we're going to be talking smoking rates and illegal tobacco.
It's kind of like how the vapes were, but now it's just going to a store and buying ciggies. Doesn't feel like you're doing anything illegal or nothing, because everybody else has them as well.
Yeah, I'm keen to hear from you too on this one. Have you taken up smoking recently, or maybe you're trying to quit right now? What are you noticing around you when it comes to smoking? 0439757555. We're going to get to that soon. Later, we'll have the wrap from the World Cup. A lot of stuff to chat about there. But first...
Hack. The British boxers turned social media influencers Andrew Tate and his brother Tristan have been arrested in the United States.
On Triple J.
I know you've probably seen something about this. Controversial influencer Andrew Tate and his brother Tristan arrested in the United States. They're facing more rape and sex trafficking charges from British authorities. They say they're innocent. What happens now? Well, Ariana Lachente's been looking into it.
Mr. Tate, would you mind signing?
Hey, Tate. Come back, come over here by me.
Andrew and Tristan Tate were arrested in Miami over the weekend.
Tristan, anything to say?
In the UK, the influencer Tate brothers are already facing charges of rape, bodily harm, human trafficking, and controlling prostitution for gain between 2012 and 2015. And self-described misogynist Andrew Tate is also facing charges for offences relating to indecent images of a child and extreme pornography. But this Miami arrest was over new charges from Britain's Crown Prosecution Service.
I can now confirm that officers from the United States have arrested both Andrew and Tristan Tate in relation to this matter, and they have been detained pending ongoing legal proceedings.
That's Karina Thomas from the Bedfordshire Police in Southeast England, which provided the Crown Prosecution with evidence. She says this recent arrest is related to four more victims, with the new charges including rape, sexual assault, sex trafficking, and offences related to indecent images of a child and extreme pornography.
38 new charges in total have now been authorised against Andrew and Tristan Tate, bringing the total number of charges faced to 59. The charges relate to seven victims spanning a period from 2010 to 2017. Our officers have worked closely with the CPS and both national and international law enforcement agencies as part of this complex investigation.
The Tate brothers are facing multiple charges across the UK and Romania, but they both deny the accusations.
The brothers' lawyer describing the move as politically motivated.
Their lawyer, Joseph McBride, has called the charges, quote, filth and slander, with a social media post saying,
"The world knows Andrew and Tristan Tate are innocent. America does not do Britain's political dirty work. Not here, never."
He said, "The brothers are innocent and will walk free."
I want to make it clear, there is no place for male violence against women and girls in our society, and we will continue to work tirelessly to support victims and investigate all reports made to us.
So, what happens now? Well, in a statement, the Crown Prosecution Service said it has requested the extradition of the Tates from the US. Andrew and Tristan are being held in federal detention in Miami. Here's Matt Shea, the filmmaker and journalist behind 2023 doco, The Dangerous Rise of Andrew Tate.
We have to remember, right, throughout the litany of accusations against the Tate brothers, perhaps the biggest ongoing right now is the Romanian investigation into them.
Romanian authorities have alleged Andrew and Tristan Tate formed an organized criminal group engaged in human trafficking and rape, something, again, they deny.
That investigation is underway in Romania, and the agreement that the UK had with the Romanian authorities was that they would wait for that investigation to complete and any sentencing to complete before the Tates were then extradited to the UK from Romania.
But in February last year, their travel restrictions were lifted and they flew to Florida on a private jet. In the next few weeks, a US district judge will consider whether the brothers meet the conditions for extradition, although that extradition would ultimately have to be ordered by the US Secretary of State Marco Rubio.
The Tate brothers promote these hyper-masculine views and kind of jokes about women being submissive, but they also sell a course in which they teach you how to groom women. The kind of charges that they're now facing both in Romania and now in the UK relate to a specific type of grooming and manipulation that they literally teach in the courses that they sell to young people. So it's not just that they are alleged to be radicalizing young men into misogyny, but they are actually teaching young men how to groom women.
Hack on Triple J.
Ariana Lucente reporting there. We're going to move on.
Hack.
Yo, everybody's smoking cigarettes right now. Like, what the helly?
On Triple J.
And let's talk tobacco for a minute. How many tobacco shops do you think there are in Australia? There's a lot. Some people estimate 40,000. And not just in the big cities, you're seeing them pop up in country towns too. Maybe one has opened near you recently. So does that mean more Australians are smoking? And what is happening with the tobacco black market? Alice Angeloni's been looking into it.
It's no secret that illegal tobacco is very easy to get hold of.
You just go to any corner store or tobacconist and you simply ask what you want and then they'll pick it out from under the counter or send somebody out the back to go get it.
From Coffs Harbour to Cairns, young people tell me they're buying off the black market.
For me, illegal cigarettes have become the new norm. They're like $18 a pack.
Recent data from the Australian Bureau of Statistics found an estimated 80% of the cigarettes and other nicotine products consumed in Australia last year were illegal. The Bureau also found nicotine consumption increased by almost 40% from 2017 to 2025. So what are young people noticing about their own habits?
It's just the usual now. Doesn't feel like you're doing anything illegal or nothing because everybody else has them as well.
Luke, not his real name, is 25 and a chippy on the mid-north coast of New South Wales. He picked up smoking about 3 years ago and says he's always mainly smoked under-the-counter cigarettes.
When you started smoking, were you buying the, like, taxable proper stuff?
If I had the chance, buy the cheaper ones any day of the week.
While Australia's daily smoking rate has fallen to a historic low of less than 6%, Luke actually reckons more of his mates are smoking now.
It's become a way more common thing to do now when you're with your mates, everybody's out there having a smoke and it's all the cheap ciggies.
And he reckons it's all wrapped up with people getting hooked on illegal vapes too.
People who got off the vapes have a serious nicotine addiction and then keep buying the cheap ciggies. It's a never-ending problem.
Luke and Evie, who lives in Cairns, reckons there's been a shift socially too.
Well, you're just kind of handing them out because you know they're so cheap.
Have you found that people share their ciggies more too now?
Oh, 100%. You just get passed around like candy.
But Evie reckons it's mainly impacted people who were already smoking.
I'd say it has not really increased the amount of people who smoke, but for the existing smokers, I definitely smoke a lot more.
It's illegal to grow or produce tobacco in Australia without a licence.
Given some tobacco seeds from just a mate of mine's dad, I just planted in the garden.
Henry, not his real name, is from North Queensland and says he had a crack at growing some tobacco a few years back.
I wasn't really sure it was going to sprout, and then it just took off and grew these, like, 7-foot-high trees that I was blown away by.
He cured it and smoked a bit, but says he didn't sell it.
It's that strong. You smoke one ciggy and it'd pretty much wipe you out, so you didn't smoke as much of it.
And Henry says while he knew growing was illegal, he didn't really care.
Because I think it's more criminal what they charge us for tobacco.
So how big of an issue is all this?
The government is losing the battle against illegal tobacco and it's costing billions in lost revenue.
Well, the Illicit Tobacco and E-Cigarette Commissioner estimates the illicit tobacco market was worth between $4 and $6.9 billion last financial year. The government's predicting to make about $8 billion less from tobacco tax over the next 5 years. That's because illicit tobacco doesn't pay two types of tax, excise and GST, which is why it's so cheap.
It won't stop, and the reason it won't stop is because legal tobacco is so expensive that the illegal product is too tempting for these crooks.
There's also talk about reducing the tobacco excise to encourage smokers back to the legal product, because currently Australia has some of the highest cigarette prices in the world. And while the Coalition is open to reducing it, the Albanese government has resisted calls to change tack. A federal Senate inquiry into the illegal tobacco crisis is due to report back next month. Back to Luke. He reckons something needs to be done.
Just goes in circles. So if you want to try and do something, you need to do it pretty quick because it's going massive in Australia.
Hack on Triple J.
Ali Angeloni reporting there, and we're hearing from so many of you on the text line as well. Someone's saying, I can't wait for tobacco to start getting sold as the plant-based alternative to vaping, is someone's prediction there. Another person saying, so many non-smokers are having a whinge here. Another person, I think everyone jumped on the vape bandwagon, developed an addiction and are now switching to cigarettes, is what that person thinks. Look, let's have a chat with someone who's on the line with us now. We've got Dylan. Dylan, what's your situation? Are you smoking a bit?
Yeah, I smoke. Have I got you?
Yeah. You've got me. So you're smoking. Are you smoking illegal cigarettes or what are you smoking, Dylan?
Yeah, Chop Chop is what I smoke, illegal tobacco. I buy it personally by a kilo for about, 50, 60 cents a gram.
Right. So you're...
Sorry, Dylan.
So you're doing it because you're saying it's just so much cheaper, you can't afford it otherwise. Are you noticing a lot of mates are doing the same thing?
Yeah, pretty much all my mates, really. It's just not worth paying, all that for the real shit from the government,
What about giving up, Dylan? Have you thought about that?
It's been on everyone's mind, I think. Like you said earlier, a lot of people been on the vapes, developed that addiction, and now they got to look somewhere else for that and can't afford, to pay it properly.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in some tough situations, especially those who find themselves hooked. Dylan, thank you so much for having a chat with us. I do appreciate you being really honest with us. Look, let's get into this a bit more now with Becky Freeman, who's a professor of public health at the University of Sydney. Professor Freeman, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure.
What is happening here? Because it does sound like a lot of young Australians are saying we're noticing more and more of our friends smoking. But as we just heard, there's figures that are saying maybe that's not the case. Where are we at?
Yeah, look, it's really encouraging news that smoking rates are going down. About 5.6% of Australians over the age of 14 are smoking on a daily basis. Look, I appreciate that it can feel like everyone around you smokes, especially when you're a smoker yourself. And we like to normalize what we're doing. We like, oh, I'm doing this. I know I don't really want to. I'm addicted. I know it's bad for me. But, everyone else is doing it. So it makes it more socially acceptable. It makes it seem like the whole world is smoking when the data is showing us it's going down, which is great.
There has been some research, though, that has shown that nicotine consumption is up, though, right? And there's also been wastewater analysis that's shown that nicotine consumption has increased. So what does that tell us?
Yeah, I want to talk you through that because I'm not going to get too researchery here, don't worry. Okay. But so in this survey, the AIHW survey that measured smoking rates, it measures how many people are using illicit. And that's doubled since the last time, so about 35% of people. The wastewater measures how much nicotine is in the water. Now that can come from tobacco, can come from vapes, it can come from those new nicotine pouches, those little tea bags that fit under your gum. Mm-hmm. It can even come from nicotine replacement therapy. And I'm not surprised we've seen an increase in nicotine in the water, because when I think about the products that are on the market now, especially vapes, they have tens of thousands of puffs in them. A few years ago, there was a few hundred puffs in a vape. Now it's really common to buy those illicit vapes that are absolutely riddled with nicotine. And we can't tell the difference with the data that's been released so far, which of that nicotine metabolite in the water is from vaping and what's from tobacco. And hopefully that data will come out soon and we'll be able to, marry that a little better.
So is what you're saying that we're seeing maybe not as many people smoke, but they're smoking more?
Yeah, and particularly illicit tobacco users. We know the after health effects, the number two reason people tell us why they quit is because of the price. But if you're smoking illicit tobacco, price is no longer a barrier for you. So you can smoke more, or you can give them away in the pub to friends and not feel so bad about it, or you can smoke more often. And again, that would be contributing to overall wastewater. So we could have a picture of fewer users, but the volume of nicotine getting bigger.
We've got a lot of messages coming through. Someone says, I'm getting advertising from the government on social media that's saying our health is improving while we're well aware everyone is shifting to illegal smokes. I'm sick of how out of touch this messaging is with reality, that person says. Another person saying nicotine gum helped me, but it's so expensive. It's cheaper to smoke, which is a really concerning thing to see on the text line, and another person saying, I've started vaping and I smoke it more than having a few durries for sure because it's so easy and it doesn't smell and it costs a lot less. Yeah, what are we noticing with vaping numbers? Like, is there any data on that, Becky?
Yeah, and I think it's really important to stress that we're talking about the whole population when I give you these figures. So vaping has flatlined. It had been increasing for the past surveys. We'd been going up and up and up. So thankfully, now we've got flatlining at about 3.6% of the population age over 14 vaping every day. But if we look at lower age groups, particularly 18 to 24, their vaping rates, while they have come down, are still a lot higher than that national average, which is unsurprising. Young adults have been the highest user of vaping products for the past few years. And I really take that point of people say, you know, when I smoke, I can go outside, I can have one, I can come back in, I can, you know, put it aside for a while. When I have a vape, I feel like I'm like sucking on a dummy all day long. I'll go to have a hit of my vape and it'll already be in my mouth. So I really think that the data around heavy use of nicotine in vaping products is coming through in people's personal experiences as well.
Let's hear from another Hack listener. Jack is with us from Melbourne. Jack, what have you noticed? Like, you a smoker, or have you noticed a lot of your friends are smoking?
I was a smoker for a few years, and then I actually moved away from smoking because of the price of just buying actual legal cigarettes. So then I took up the vaping instead. But I find now, I think we're all leaning towards these illegal assets because it's just significantly cheaper.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter which one.
And so you're definitely noticing a lot more of your friends are buying illegal cigarettes?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, why would you go to the supermarket or a legal tobacconist and spend $50+ when there's those cheaper ones for like $20?
Interesting, Jack. Thank you so much for having a chat with us. I'm Dave Marchese. I'm speaking with Professor Becky Freeman from the University of Sydney. We're talking about illegal tobacco, smoking rates generally. Yeah, Becky, what does this mean? Because I do feel like we're seeing celebrities be a bit more brazen with smoking cigarettes. Maybe we're seeing it more in the media than we were 10 years ago. It does feel like there is this trend of young people saying, we don't care, we're going to do it.
Yeah, I feel like the cultural resurgence, or if you want like a flashback to 90s fashion. And, you know, when you have a high profile celebrity smoking on the cover of Vanity Fair in 2026, of course you're going to notice that. But, you know, social media posts aren't the same as hard data, of course. But I wonder if it's part of this also, like, it's something that we no longer see in office buildings. We no longer see here in the studio. You're not smoking. I'm not smoking. Can't smoke on the bus. Can't smoke in a lecture theater. Can't smoke in your work site. Even like construction sites, usually you have to go off site. So when we do see smoking, it really stands out for us. It's something like quite remarkable rather than, because we don't see it in everyday, all day situations as well.
The money that the government gets from the tobacco excise, that tax on tobacco, is that used for public health measures? Where does that go?
Look, it goes into general revenue. I wish it went to public health. That would be great. Look, I'm not really not interested in tobacco taxes filling government coffers. I support tax increases when they help smokers to quit. Because we know that after health effects, people say, it's the price. I don't want to pay this price. I'm going to quit. Now, with illicit tobacco, it's so cheap, but it's also so available. Like, you can buy it anywhere. If you had to do something kind of that made you feel a bit shady or was difficult to get your hands on, even the fact that it was so much cheaper, I don't think people would be buying it. It's the fact that you can walk into your favorite tobacconist, buy it from a lovely guy who probably makes sure he's got all the cheap brands in there for you. That's part of the reason why it's escalated so much.
We've actually got Isaac with us now. Isaac, you have recently tried to give up smoking. What's your situation?
Yeah, so I recently got on the prescription vapes, mainly because vapes down in Hobart just got way too expensive. And I just found that the amount of nicotine in the prescription vapes that I'm kind of consuming is just wild to see how much is in the black market ones. And I don't think a lot of people realise how much nicotine you're actually inhaling every day.
Right, so you've been surprised by that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, interesting. I mean, people are definitely turning to some of these prescription measures to give up, but we're hearing from a lot of people, Becky, saying they can't afford the tools to give up too is a big problem.
It should never be more expensive to quit smoking than it is to smoke. That is outrageous. I completely agree. And I think your last call was from Tasmania. Congratulations on quitting smoking and using prescription vapes. You're one of the few people in the country who is actually going to those steps to get a prescription. So I applaud you for that. And if you call the quit line in Tasmania, you can also get subsidized NRT, patches and gums. You can't do that in every state. And that should be available to all Australians all across the country.
That's really interesting. If people do want some help, like giving up, there are a lot of resources out there, right?
There are. There's quit vaping apps, quit smoking apps. There's the quit line. There's endless websites of self-help resources as well. I think the one thing I want to stress for people is that there's no sort of like magic silver bullet way of quitting. We know that people who are successful, give it a try.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do is you have to give it a go.
It's interesting stuff. And look, the response on the text line now just proves how big of an issue this is for so many people.
Yeah.
Look, Becky Freeman, Professor of Public Health at the University of Sydney, really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks so much for having me.
Let's turn to the World Cup now.
Ha! European champion versus South American champion and world champion.
Argentina and Spain fans have taken over the streets of New York City.
Lamine Yamal versus Leo Messi. The future, the past, the present and the future and the forever.
You know what I think we need? We need some heart, you know? Someone that has some soul.
It's the World Cup power.
And send it in for Spain by Ferran Torres!
Ole, 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 ole.
The kings of Europe have conquered the world!
Triple J.
Yeah, our thanks to SBS for some of the audio there. What a World Cup. It's been definitely a moment, hasn't it? A lot of people really interested in the World Cup, watching it, loving it, of course. So many fans. I want to know about you and your World Cup habits. Were you watching it? What was your favourite moment? Message in 0439757555. Hit the text line now. Let's go to someone who I know was watching all of this really, really closely. His name is Declan Byrne from ABC Sport. Dec, thank you so much for joining us.
G'day, Dave.
You were watching this morning. What was your review? How did you rate the game?
Well, I'm glad Spain won. When it goes to extra time and then to penalties, like anything can happen in penalties. Mm-hmm. Spain were dominant the whole game. If it had gone to pens and Argentina win, I think everyone around the world would have felt a bit yuck.
It would be very difficult for Argentina to deal with this loss, and especially like Lionel Messi as well. Like, it's a huge point in time for him and his career.
Yeah, so he's now lost two World Cup finals, but he has that win. So last World Cup he won in 2022. It would have been incredible. That was probably the only cheer for Argentina, was like the Messi double to go out, to retire, which is what a lot of people will assume. That would have been an amazing story. But everything else around Argentina, sometimes they're hard to cop, Dave. Like the dirty tactics on the field. There was a second yellow and a red card right on the stroke of full time, so right on 90 minutes. But it was sad for Messi. He was crying at the end. The camera was basically fixed on him.
Yeah.
Poor bugger couldn't get an inch of space because he was basically the biggest story of the final, and him losing was, it was kind of sad.
Because how old is he? He's 39?
39,
and
yep.
So what does that mean for him? Like, realistically, he's going to need to call it quits soon.
I mean, there is a small school of people that think he could go on because
really?
The way he played this World Cup, and it's a fun way to play. He stood up the front, Dave. He didn't defend. So you would watch him when Argentina would be defending, he'd just be ambling back. Like, you guys got that. I'll stay up here. Pass it to me. I'll try and weave some magic.
So they've kind of figured out a way to rest him enough that
exactly.
When he is useful, he's very useful.
Exactly, yeah. And he played the full 120 minutes, whereas other players were subbed off. They were like, we need to keep Messi. Even though he's really at an advanced age, we just hope that we can get it to him. He will find a pocket of space and give us that moment.
Right.
It wasn't to be, though, today.
He has said that he was going to retire like previously and he's come back. So, you never know what is going to happen. And there was also this crazy story of him and one of Spain's players as a baby.
Yes.
Can you tell me more about that?
This is the best story. People might have seen this random photo of Lionel Messi as a 20-year-old holding a baby, a little baby that nobody knew at that time was the guy by the name of Lamine Yamal, who played in this final. So to give you the brief story, Messi was playing for Barcelona. This young family won a raffle to get a photo with a player from Barcelona. And I think there were, say, 20 families that won. 20 babies came along. They all got photos with different Barcelona players. Mm. The baby who got the photo with Messi is now the new superstar of world football. So the photo is so awkward. Messi's a 20-year-old. You can imagine if you're a 20-year-old listening right now and you're asked to be in a photo shoot with a random baby in a bath.
Yeah.
Awkward.
Yeah.
But it turns out to be that he was the 19-year-old playing for Spain. He had some great chances to be the hero today, but he won the World Cup playing against a guy who held him in a bath 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's bizarre, but also kind of a really strange and beautiful World Cup moment, I guess. Is there a real generational shift that we're likely to see over the next few years more broadly?
I think we're seeing it in parts at the moment. So the best thing about this World Cup, I think, were the superstars who all shone. So Mbappe was the leading goal scorer, but Messi was right behind him. Harry Kane, Erling Haaland, the biggest names in football had a great World Cup. A lot of them, it's either probably their last or second last World Cup. So we are seeing the new school come through. But, you know, you think of some of those names like Erling Haaland, if Norway gets to another one, he'll be even better. He'll still be in his prime. So it was sort of in the shift, but it won't be a full reset.
I also saw all the reviews of the halftime show, which are a bit mixed because there was a lot going on there. Did you clock it? What's your
review?
As a music reviewer yourself, what do you reckon, Dirk?
Yeah, where was the Australian music? Come on. Old Home and Hoso. So I was looking for some, you know, where was G-Flip? They should have got up.
Not the lineup you would have selected for sure.
Yeah, honestly, that was my shower time. I went to have the shower, get ready for work because I was watching part at home. Look, it went on a bit long. The halftime break should be 15 minutes. It shouldn't give a team a chance to like fully reset. There were some fun moments, but
so is that a thing now? They're going to bring that in?
Who knows? They're talking about this was the biggest World Cup ever. So instead of 32 teams, there were 48. They're saying next World Cup might be 64 teams.
Wow.
They do everything for money, really. So that extra half an hour meant extra ads, that it's all to get more money. So FIFA can do what they want, really. It takes away a bit from the football. Like we saw the hydration breaks. Mm-hmm. Football turned into quarters over this World Cup, which was so odd. But again, it was probably because everyone made a bit more cash.
Yeah. What do we know about the next World Cup?
Next World Cup is in Europe. It's going to be fun. So it'll be held across Morocco, Spain, and Portugal. But what they're doing, again, maybe this is a money grab. Maybe this is to do with spreading the World Cup across the whole globe. Because it's the anniversary of the first World Cup, they're actually going to play three games in South America. So I think Uruguay and Argentina are getting a game. But there's word that the reason they're doing that really is because they can say, oh, no, South America had that World Cup, and they can get another one back to the Middle East.
Oh, really?
Which, again, is where there's so much money. So we had the Qatar World Cup recently. Apparently, Saudi Arabia is pleading for a World Cup, but it's not their turn in the cycle.
Yeah.
They travel around the world, so I don't know. Again, shock horror, FIFA isn't the most transparent agency in the world.
I've heard that before. I don't know. I've heard it somewhere before. What was your favourite moment? Like, if you look at the whole tournament, Deck, was there one moment in particular that really either had you smiling or that you just thought was an incredible piece of sport?
Socceroos aside, because the Turkey game was incredible, that moment, that victory was incredible. It's probably the other end of the tournament involving Spain. Their first game was against Cabo Verde, who are a tiny nation, I think less than 500,000 people. First World Cup for them. And it looks amazing now. They held Spain to a nil-all draw. The keeper, Vozinha, he was saving 30, 40 shots on goal.
Yeah, wow.
And he went from, I think his Instagram following went from like a couple hundred thousand to like 50 million. Like, he's never played top line football. He wouldn't have made much money from the sport that he's played for a number of years. I think he's 41. Now his life changes. And they held Spain, the eventual champions, to a nil-all draw.
It's extraordinary. Some big moments and some reminders of just how big and global this sport is. There really is nothing like it. Look, thank you for coming in, and I guess you can relax a little now. What's on your agenda for the next few weeks?
Just a bit of downtime. There's plenty of other sport on, Dave, that will take up all of my time.
Yeah, makes sense. Declan Byrne from ABC Sports, really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, mate.
And a lot of people on the text line who obviously have been watching it. There's some people who haven't been watching it, but big fans of football on the Hack audience on the text line now. Someone on illegal tobacco is saying, I've managed to quit cheap ciggies. My advice is just to keep trying and don't beat yourself up too much for failing. Every attempt, no matter how short, makes the next one a little bit easier. Yeah, it was interesting to get into that conversation around smoking rates and what we're seeing in Australia right now. If we are in fact seeing fewer smokers, if people are just smoking more. Someone else says, my colleagues and I made a pact to give up vaping drinking and smoking. It's made everything so much easier. We've done it for our future health. And another person saying the government pushed the tax way too far. If they're interested in reducing the black market, the only option is a drastic price reduction. And someone else saying, I work on a respiratory ward and lung cancer is rife, which is a strong reminder there. Although that is all we've got time for on Hack for now.